In Egypt, the prosecutor general announced yesterday that deposed President Hosni Mubarak and his two sons will stand trial for killing anti-government protesters and for corruption. He'll be the first Arab head of state to face trial after being toppled by demonstrators. The charges could carry the death penalty. Bringing Mubarak to justice was a key demand of the activists who forced the dictator from power last February. And as Egyptian activists plot the future course of their revolution, they're taking a page from revolutions in other countries. One of their inspirations was the movement that brought down Slobodan Milosevic in 2000. One Serb activist who actually helped to guide those in Egypt is Serge Popovic. Popovic is the executive director of CANVAS, that's the Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies in Belgrade. He says that activists in many countries can still learn from Serbia's example.
What we as a group can do is really teach them how to avoid our mistakes. It took Serbs 10 years of attempts and failures to get rid of Milosevic. It took our trainees in France, in Georgia and Ukraine, 2 or 3 years. It took Tunisians a few months. It took Egyptians only 19 days. It was a kind of the nonviolent blitzkrieg.
But that makes it sound like there's a bit of a playbook, and it just happens to be a matter of how well you do in the playbook. Does it not matter about how entrenched the dictatorship is?
It is always dependent on the two things. One thing is the social environment, but the skills you bring in the conflict are more important, and you can look at the different principles of success. In concrete case, for nonviolent struggle, you need to first build your unity, then you need to plan really meticulously, which was very, very good, well done in Egypt. At the end of the day, it depends whether or not the movement is maintaining nonviolent discipline. This is probably the crucial difference between the successful transitions we will hopefully witness in Tunisia and Egypt and a bloody stalemate which we are witnessing in Libya.
Let's look at what's happening now, though. And I'm not sure if you heard President Obama speaking before the British Parliament today, but he said, among other things, look, people are mobilizing to free themselves of the grip of an iron fist. And he was talking about what's happening, of course, in terms of the Arab Spring in Arab countries. And he hearkened back to Eastern Europe. He said it'll be years before these revolutions reach their conclusion. So the question for you is, how in the long run, after the protesters break up their demonstrations in places like Tahrir Square, how do you keep still existing divisions, for instance, between Muslims and Copts in Egypt, from turning violent?
This is the big question, because it is the answer to the question, how do you make movement into structure? This is quite a complicated thing. And of course, there will be threats. There will be threats. The conflicts can be very dangerous, and I think they have this nonviolent power to overwhelm the especially religious conflicts, because, it just to remind you, it was religious unity which brought them to the point of transition.
Religious unity, not in all cases. In some cases, it seems like the religions were glossed over for a different purpose, a more civil, secular purpose.
This is exactly where you look at. When you look at these conflicts, you can say whether or not the unity is achieved. And Martin Luther King was start winning his civil rights movement when he was start getting white people on his side. And Harvey Milk was start winning his gay rights movement once he was getting straight people to his side. And the only way to build a successful nonviolent movement that includes, of course, the Muslim world is to have Shia, Sunnis and Christians on one side. So if you are capable to build this unity, then you will win.
The group that you were part of in
Otpor
in 1998, mm-hmm. you helped begin Otpor, received millions of dollars from Washington. And I wonder what you think right now pro-democracy groups around the world should be getting, if anything, from Washington in terms of support, in terms of financial support.
You need to be very cautious when you accept any kind of international support, and cooperating with international NGOs is one thing and dealing with government is another thing. So don't mess with governments, because governments don't have friends, they have only interests. The nonviolent conflicts at the end of the 20th century and at the beginning of the 21st century are the tool of changing the world, very unlike foreign military interventions, which know-how are bringing any kind of democracy or stability, and we are witnessing this in many different cases.
So would you say then, by extension of that, that the United States and NATO should not be involved in militarily in Libya right now?
I personally don't think that foreign military intervention can bring democracy in any place in the world. And I think a bloody stalemate in Libya and situations we had in Iraq and Afghanistan are the great examples of this.
But we saw what was happening in Libya and how the government was pummeling rebel forces without the help of NATO, for instance. how would any kind of nonviolent activity on the part of protesters in Libya have survived what the Gaddafi government forces have been doing?
This is why I expect the international community to found a solid ground for educational purpose. Let me give you the example. Remember this day seven. Let us look at the situation. Gaddafi was under his umbrella hiding. The people were on the street of most of the Libyan cities. Yes, there was some shooting and the protesters like we're witnessing now in Syria, but protesters still stay mainly nonviolent. At this particular situation, 100,000 Egyptians and Tunisians who bake bread in Tripoli were already escaped the country. 25,000 Chinese engineers who are operating Gaddafi's refineries were on a Greek ship in Mediterranean Sea. My question is, what if there was a strategy and nonviolent discipline to hit Libya with a general strike which will stop oil from pumping? How the Gaddafi would operate these refineries? With his mercenaries from Chad? No.
Does that mean that right now, for instance, it can't be reversed? Once you pick up guns, you can't go back?
You can always get back. And I must remind you that one of the reasons why Mandela was spending most of his struggle lives in Robben Island, which is the jail across the Cape Town, is because there was a violent fraction of his ANC. You had Black Panthers in the United States. But because the nonviolent struggle prevailed and because the clever people in the leadership of all these movements understood that one single act of violence can destroy the credibility of your movement and prevent people from joining and give your opponent the biggest excuse in the world for his violent crackdown. This is why these movements were successful. They ended up with their violent fractions and it turned into a political struggle. And this is one of the reasons why I think that this Arab Spring is so important. It gives the world of lessons how the nonviolent change is powerful and how the changes and transitions from dictatorship to democracy should be done. You cannot bring political change by military means, at least not in 21st century. That's my deepest belief.
Serbian activist Serge Popovic directs the Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies, or CANVAS, in Belgrade.